Straw Hut Media.
Oh, we have a good one for you today. Wait, what? Oh, I sound like Steve Harvey.
You sound like Steve.
Welcome back to Family Food. We got a good one for you today.
I'm very excited about this, though.
Yeah. So, you know, we like to have fun on this podcast. We're going to have fun today, but we're also probably going to get into the political stuff, probably because our guest, who is incredible, and we're really excited to have...
You know, I'm, like, literally chomping at the bit for this. Like, I love talking politics.
I know. And, you know, for me, if you're watching this podcast, I'm wearing my Raised in Atlanta sweatshirt because I'm from Atlanta, not Atlanta, not Hotlanta.
Yeah, and if you're white, don't call it Hotlanta.
Right,
I learned
please
that
don't.
Early
please
on.
Please don't.
Only what about we the say ATL? That.
ATL,
I can get with, but okay. when people say Hotlanta, that it's just nobody calls it that. You're from there.
Can you guess that voice?
What? Oh,
that's
yeah.
Our guest.
Oh, yeah. That is our guest. And, you know, AJ, I'm from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
You're from Salina, Ohio. And mm-hmm. Our guest is from Salina, Tennessee. Talking about Trey Crowder. If you don't know Trey Crowder, he is the liberal redneck.
Confess your mess.
He's gone viral many times. You've probably seen him on Instagram or TikTok on his YouTube.
Yeah, if you're liberal, you've probably shared his videos with your family and friends back home.
Really good. He's an author. He also has the podcast. It's called Well Read Podcast. And he also has Weekly Skews. And we're going to talk about his comedy tour a little later. But Trey, welcome to the podcast. We really are so excited to have you on.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. I don't get too much... you know, dishing. We're going to be dishing today. Is that an accurate term?
We can dish a little bit. Right? Yeah.
Getting salacious secrets and whatnot, you know, because I'm like married with two sons and whatnot.
Listen,
so I don't traffic too much in other people's drama, but I'm looking forward to it.
Listen, the good thing is here, you don't need to know a thing about these people. You're never going to meet them. We're never going to know their last names.
Right.
So they can just be out there in the sphere somewhere, and you just give your true, honest opinions. You can lead with love. If you want to give like the sweetest advice all day long, go for it.
Sometimes they DM after, but
sometimes they DM us.
Most times not.
But let's talk about you for a quick moment, though, because your video is really, you were just recently on Van Jones' podcast, which I saw on your Insta. And he is one of my idols. I've interviewed him many times over the years. And the way that he speaks to America is just so interesting to me. And the way he sort of helped progressives process Donald Trump's election.
Mm-hmm.
And then those 4 years, like he was really a beacon of hope for a lot of people. And when he had you on the pod, he said, listen, you're able to talk to people in a different way. You're able to break through the noise. And as somebody who's also from Salina, Ohio, not Tennessee, I come from the most Republican county in the entire state of Ohio, and it breaks my heart sometimes. But I also have that thing where when I can control my temper and control my frustration as a queer man living in Los Angeles and working in Hollywood, doing the Satan's work, when I can control it, I love my home. I love the people. I just feel like they're so misled and they're so just being just manipulated. What was it that got you finally like out there saying, I need to start having these conversations because I'm not necessarily what you might expect from me and I need the world to hear it?
Oh, this is probably going to be a kind of rambling answer because like, honestly, I was sort of the smart kid in my school in Salina, you know? And so like, I left my hometown fully believing that I was Goodwill hunting. You know what I mean? Because I grew up like poor white trash or whatever, but I thought I was a prodigy, right? Intellectually. And I'm not. And that was like a whole thing I had to process as an adult. Like, oh, wow, I'm really not all that smart. But I thought I was. And that's relevant because I never had any kind of apprehension about sharing my opinions on things. Like even when I was growing up there, I remember one time in English class, we had like a debate day because school was too small to have debate class. So like one day of 1 week this is debate class for me. And it was right when we were about to go to war with Iraq.
Yeah.
That was the question. Like, we're going to debate that. And I remember the teacher was like, okay, everybody who thinks we should go to war with Iraq, raise your hands. And it was like, little less than half the class. She's like, all right, everybody who thinks we shouldn't go to war with Iraq. It was literally just me. I was the only one. And she's like, and everybody who doesn't really have an opinion. And then it was the remainder. And she goes, okay, you guys go with Trey over there. Everybody who doesn't have an opinion and Trey get on this side of the
gosh.
Room. And then everybody else get over here and we'll debate it. But I'm saying like, I was always kind of, you know, the odd man out in that right, way. Yeah. Like I didn't go to church and I wasn't down with the Lord and all that stuff. But like I was always upfront about it for the most part, because I had such a high opinion of my own intelligence at that time
yeah.
that I was just like, well, of course they think something different. They're wrong. You know, right. Like, I'm smart and I know stuff. They're dumb. They don't know stuff. It's natural that we feel differently about things. That's what I used to think, you know? And so that I never had a problem with running my mouth or stating my mind is what I'm saying. And I always wanted to be a comedian. And I was very aware that every comedian that had my kind of accent did the same type of thing generally. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that, like, even as a kid daydreaming about being a comedian one day, I kind of knew that I had something there, that there was like, you know, that would stand out to people. I still didn't know that it would, you know, go the way it has or resonate as much or be as viral as it has on occasion.
It all resonates. Wow. And I love that story because it's wild. In my own Saline, Ohio, when I was in sixth grade, I went to Immaculate Conception Elementary School, and we had to write like a debate sort of paper on a topic. And I chose euthanasia, assisted suicide, and I wrote in support of Dr. Jack Kevorkian. So that's kind of where I was. And like the night, and my teachers were like, you're going to burn in hell. Like they didn't understand that I was like, well, it makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I get it. And it funny you should say, my sister went to school in Jefferson City, Tennessee, Carson Newman, a little university, a little college down there. She played volleyball and a volleyball scholarship. So I spent a lot of time in Tennessee for a lot of years. And I remember when George W. Bush was debating what year it was. I don't remember. But I remember being there at the university and I was like, I want to watch this debate. Because I want to see, it was John Kerry, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I got to go support my boy John Kerry. And I walked into that student center, and every single person in there hated John Kerry. And I was like, wait, what? What?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Ohio, so I kind of understood. But I've lived in L.A. for so long, and I remember living in L.A. and New York. And, like, I just remember being like, wait, what? Like, this many people have this much hatred for this person. So I get it. I didn't understand it. But we're glad you're doing what you're doing and spreading the word.
Yeah. And, you know, when I first saw one of your videos years ago, you know, initially when I hear that voice and that certain twang and accent, my brain goes to some places because, you know, from the people I was around when I heard that type of accent, there was an automatic feeling that would come from that, because usually it was met with some choice words, or there would be some, oh, bless your heart. But we knew what that really meant. Like there was a lot behind it. So it is very refreshing to see that not only, you know, are we changing kind of the narrative around that, but like you are speaking up and so vocal about current issues, specifically within our community, the LGBTQ plus community, that really is, it means a lot. But we're going to get into some more details with that a little bit later. But, you know, this is a podcast about seekers, and I think it's very appropriate that you're on here just to quickly touch on that one more time, because, you know, when Trump was elected and we were going through that whole process.
Don't tell me you voted for him.
Definitely did not. Do not ever put that out there in the world. I did not. I did not vote for Trump. What I was going to say, though, is, you know, it was shocking to some people. And there was SNL skits and everything about it.
But white people.
Yeah. Because they were like, whoa, where does this come from? These people were secretly like whatever. And it's funny because, you know, this is a whole podcast about secrets, and we don't expose secrets, but people reveal things. No. And I think that over the last 4, 5, 6 years, we've seen people really become more open and revealing of what they were hiding kind of deep inside.
That's
and
fair.
Now we do a podcast about secrets. Of course, we're not, you know, it's podcasting is about exposing people who secretly supported Trump.
Thank God.
But it is cool that, you know, we are going to break down some secrets.
But Trey, before we get started, I know you brought a secret confession you're going to share with us later on in the pod. This is not that moment just yet. Okay. We got to make our listeners wait for that. Mm-hmm. But this is like a little mini secret. It's more of a vice, really. Maybe something in your life that you know isn't really great for you. Maybe it's a food. Maybe you smoke. Maybe you like to watch a certain type of film and it's just trash. Or you're into like The Real Housewives and you're embarrassed by that. So it's not your big secret, but it's a little thing that you just cannot say no to. It is your mess, but yes.
So I got into baking in the pandemic.
Oh, gosh. Found
the Great British Baking Show.
Uh-huh.
That old chestnut, became obsessed with it. I've since seen every episode 3 times at this point. But and so I started baking, and I used to always tell people that I don't have much of a sweet tooth. Like, I'm more of a salty, savory guy. So like I was baking all this stuff, and I would tell other people, because I was also trying to lose weight because I had gained like 30 pounds at the beginning of the pandemic.
Same.
And so I got a Peloton and whatnot. And I was
trying to do better. Right there.
Yeah, right. Yep. I love it. It's great. So I would say, like, no, I'm eating better, and I'm doing, I'm trying to lose weight and all this stuff. I bake for my sons and my wife because they like the sweet stuff or whatever. But right. That's not true. Like, after everybody else goes to bed, I could have done well all day in terms of what I ate. And then I'll get up to walk to the bedroom and take a detour to the kitchen and stand there and eat 3 cookies in the dark before I go get in the bed. Just undo everything I did that day.
What's your specialty? Are you like pies? Are you cakes? Are you cookies? Like, what's your thing?
I would say my cookies are probably the best. I make pretty good cakes too. I can't make anything pretty though at all. I call it finishing. I'm terrible at finishing.
It's all about the taste. What's your go-to type of cookie that if we were to taste the cookie, we would be like, oh my God, this is incredible.
I mean, I know it's super generic, but I mean, I was just thinking last night, I was like, I think I've about mastered the chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
Like, yeah, but that's a real art though. That's real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you haven't tried Insomnia cookies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're
oh
out here.
Oh, my gosh. Insomnia cookies will change your life. Their chocolate chip is incredible.
He confessed to me a few weeks ago, for a moment. Like, so I go to bed real early. I host a national talk show every morning, a radio show. So I'm there like 5 a.m. every day. But he stays up usually. And then one day he says, listen, about 3 or 4 nights this week, I ordered Insomnia cookies after you went to bed. And I feel like I don't want you to look. I feel like if you ever look at my Uber Eats receipt, you're going to see how many cookies I order. And then he gets them. He gets icing in the middle of them, makes sandwiches out of them.
So good.
There you go. Yeah. See, so you get it. Yeah.
I completely understand. That was a great mess.
Yeah,
but
good. That was good. Okay. We trust you. Should we do it?
We should.
Let's get to
it. For our messengers, if you want to be a messenger of the week, what you need to do is go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, rate, comment 5 stars. We really appreciate it, and you can be a messenger of the week. Also, if you want to submit your secret, go to confessyourmess.us. You can remain anonymous. You can leave us a voice note, all that good stuff. But let's get into the first secret.
Let's do it.
All right. This is anonymous female, New Mexico. I'm the only lefty in my family. I'm left-handed too. The rest of them are all Trumpers. Oh, you mean like that. Got it.
Oh, left wing.
Another southpaw.
Right? Yeah. The rest of them are all Trumpers and COVID deniers. My secret is that none of my college friends know my family is super conservative because I'm afraid they'd expect me to cut off ties with them, which for obvious reasons, I just cannot do. I disagree completely with my family, but they are my family. Mm. I love them. Oh, Trey, I think you should kick this one off.
I think maybe I'm wrong. It may be my own bias because of where I'm from or whatever, but I feel like almost no one is unable to relate to having like a crazy red ass uncle or something. Like, I feel like everybody's got at least one aunt or uncle that you're always like, oh, Jesus Christ, here she goes again. You know what I mean? And maybe if your whole family is like that, sure. But my point is, I don't think that your friends, I would hope they wouldn't hold that against you because your family is that way. I bet a lot of them can really relate to that. I don't know much about New Mexico, but just statistically, I bet at least a few of them are from similar situations. And I bet they all got at least that one guy or girl in their family who makes them feel that way. So I think you'd be all right. You can find somebody to commiserate with. Who else you can bitch about them to, You
know, I would agree with that.
That's good. You never know because, my dad's whole side of the family is like hillbilly. Like AF, like they're hardcore hillbilly, and I wouldn't even go near them. I don't trust them. They're not safe. I remember my uncle kicked my little sister one time, and she was like 6 years old. I was like, with his cowboy boots, it's just bad. But like, it's interesting. My family's kind of a mix. My mom's side and my stepdad's family. You might guess that they're all a little bit conservative, because they're country, but they're all like hardcore Democrats. They're like old school Democrats that used to be like, country folk used to be Democrats. The South used to be Democrats. And they still, because of my grandfather who passed many, many years ago, he was a union guy, I believe, and will always vote Democrat. Nothing would ever change his mind. So his entire family to this day still votes Democrat based on nothing other than that, I think.
So with me and you apparently have got a lot in common, not just the Salina thing, because that's also like, sometimes people ask me like how to deal with, they're like this confessor, except they're like, how do I deal with my super conservative family at Thanksgiving and whatnot? And my in-laws are like that, but I almost feel guilty sometimes because like my family's actually mostly not like that. They're also, like you said, like old school. My grandparents were both Democrats, and like Southern Democrat used to be a very different thing. But yeah. They were the ones who like evolved with the part. Like they, you know, they had, it wasn't like that because my uncle's gay and everything. And they were just, we weren't in the church. They always voted Democrat. I kind of was just raised to be this way despite where I grew up at, you know? So like, I'm not like my wife and my two buddies that I tour with and everything are all from similar situations. They're all the blue sheep in the family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like yeah. This person is, but that's not really the case for me, you know? So
can I ask kind of on a personal note, you said your uncle's gay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said in one of your Instagram videos I watched recently, that kids make fun of you cause you read books. And I was like, yeah. I relate to that. And then also they're like, oh, and also my name Trey rhymes with gay. Mm-hmm. And I was called Gay J and mm-hmm. I was called A-Gay because luckily both of my initials rhyme with gay, which right. is a double blessing. Yeah. But was it your uncle that sort of influenced? Because you're a strong ally. Like you're married to a woman with a couple of kids. Like, but yeah. you're a strong ally to our community. Is it because of your uncle?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think I would feel that way regardless, but it's definitely because of my uncle, because my uncle's always been out, and my dad explained to me the deal with my uncle when I was probably 9 or 10, because he knew that I was going to start hearing about it. And I did, you know, I got made fun of, like, I like to read and I wore glasses. My name rhymed with gay and I had a gay uncle and people knew that. So like, I got that all the time. I wasn't like mercilessly bullied. Like my buddies in my grade were cool, but there was like older redneck dudes who were huge assholes about it. You know, you'll make somebody a good wife one day, like uncle, like nephew, you know, and I got all the homophobic slurs thrown at me also. So I wish that wasn't even like considered political, you know, to think that gay people should have rights, but like it has been. And that was the first like political thing that I cared about, you know, wow. was that. And it was because of my uncle. So yeah, that's definitely where it came from. My dad passed away a few years ago, but my uncle, we're still super close. He's awesome. He's hilarious.
If I had a friend or a group of friends who were going to not be friends with me or judge me because of how my family was politically affiliated or their views, I don't think those are real friends.
Yeah.
I think your friends should know you and your heart. And if they truly know who you are and they can see, hey, I'll give this person the name Maria. If they say, hey, Maria, I see, you know, what you do, how you believe and your viewpoints. And just because, you know, your family is Trumpers and COVID deniers, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're affiliated and associated with that. And I also don't expect you to denounce your family necessarily just because they view that. Okay, so we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Trey Crowder. Ooh, that sounded good.
Welcome back to Confess Your Mess. We've got Trey Crowder on the pod today, the liberal redneck. I love it. Thank you so much for being here. We love your insight on some of your stories are wild. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a couple more confessions before we get to yours.
We do.
Let's get right to them.
Anonymous male San Mateo. In the fourth grade, I convinced my two best friends that my parents were CIA operatives. They were actually a construction worker and a waitress. I never came clean about it, and they believed me the entirety of fourth grade. I doubt they still do, but after summer break, it just wasn't a subject that came up again.
Trey, how old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay, you might catch this reference then. Do you remember like Debbie Gibson?
Yeah.
Okay. So Debbie Gibson and obviously Mel Gibson, you know that one. When I was a kid, my last name is Gibson. And my brother and sister convinced me that Debbie Gibson was our cousin and Mel was our uncle.
Yeah.
And I was every single year around the holidays, they would tell me they were going to come around and then they would never show up. And I got so upset one year. I was like, where Debbie and Mel? Like, I didn't know there were other Gibsons in the world. I thought it was just us. And then then there was like my uncle Kirk, who like did a walk-off homer for the Dodgers, I think back in the day, Kirk Gibson. Like I think baseball, those were the only Gibsons I had ever heard of. But Debbie and Mel, I knew were like our family. Like they were real family. They had the money though. And I was like, why do we live in this house if our family got money? And for most of my childhood, I thought they told me they were just too famous and they were too busy. They were too busy on tour and making movies. And so that's why they never came to our holidays. And I believed it for many, many years.
Until when?
3 years ago. No. Like,
what? You ran into Mel somewhere and he was like, the f*** are you talking about? Like, right, no, right. Me. your long lost cousin, AJ.
Were you
from Australia?
Oh my God, right.
Did you tell tall tales as a kid? Were you that kind who would like create like a narrative? Because I feel like you seem like you would have been the type of kid who might have done that.
I mean, I guess I appreciate you saying that, but no, not really. I wasn't ever really into that. But this did make me think of a story, though, that I want to tell y'all about a family member. And okay. Some people think the story is f***ed up. Some people think it's funny. Either reaction's fine. So my oldest son, when he was little, he didn't start talking until too late. We were trying like late for, you know, what's supposed to be normal development. He's totally fine now. He had like a speech impediment, but
yeah,
like,
I did too. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a, you know, he didn't have a language developmental delay or nothing like that, but we didn't know when he's like going on two. So we had all these specialists look at him and stuff. And one that people were like, it might be his ears. He may have a hearing problem. Right. So we went and had his ears checked. And then we were visiting my meemaw in Salina. We hadn't got the results yet. He just had the hearing thing. My grandpa, her late husband, he died in 2004 when I was 18, right? So this is like 8 years ago now, something like that. So we're in there with my meemaw. We're talking about my son's whole deal. We're like, yeah, we got his ears checked. And she goes, you know what? That's probably it. She goes, you know that hearing problems run in our family, right? And I was like, first time I'd ever heard of that in my life. What? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, no, your pa, her husband, my grandpa, she's like, your pa, you know, he had a hearing disorder. Again, first I've ever heard of this. So I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, no, he did. He had that hearing disorder where he couldn't, you remember, he couldn't hear women talk at all.
Oh my God.
She was like, he could hear men talk just fine, but something about the frequency of a woman's voice.
Oh my God.
Just couldn't hear women talk all the time. And I just stared at her for a minute. And then I just like ran off down the hallway because I didn't know how to react.
Oh my God.
Now's not the time.
Not the time at all. Yeah, our dog definitely has a hearing disorder. Yeah. He has selective hearing, and he only listens to us when we have a treat in our hand. So
yeah, he hears ice cubes in the freezer. That's the only thing he hears.
So my grandpa clearly told her once when she was mad because he wasn't listening to her or something like that. He was like, "No, you know, I got that thing. It's not my fault."
So he was serious.
Wait, back up. So your grandma wasn't telling you a joke. She actually believed it.
No, I'm sorry. No, dude.
Oh my God.
She believed that.
I thought your grandma was messing with you.
No, dude, my mama, she's such a sweet lady, but dude, she's, you know, I mean, I think she's got, I'm not going to sit here and call my mama a dumbass, but you know what I mean.
Oh my God.
Wait, he went to the grave letting her believe that all those years she just couldn't hear the freak.
Wow. He sure did. Yeah.
What okay. Did you call your grandpa, Pawpaw?
Meemaw and Pa.
I always like, because I know one of my best friends in rural Georgia, it was Meemaw and Pawpaw. What did you call your grandparents?
Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh.
But Grandma and Grandpa with an AW on the end.
Pawpaw is more, that's definitely more common. Like my wife's dad, my son's grandpa, he's Pawpaw to them.
Yeah,
it's very common, but
people say Mimi and Papa or Meemaw and Papa where I come from a lot. But our whole family, we all say Grandma and Grandpa.
I said, mine was their first names, Mama Letty and Daddy Rev.
So my maternal grandmother, she was Mama Cat.
Okay.
Her Mama Cat. Yeah.
My mom is Mama Cat.
Oh, really?
She's Kathy. We got a lot in common.
But she's not your grandma, though. Okay, so this is anonymous. They said, and that's it, just anonymous. I'm 14, and I think I'm a trans woman, but I don't think I can ever tell my family. They would never accept me.
Okay, so, Trey, you've actually spoken on this quite a bit recently, because on my morning talk show, it's an LGBTQ plus talk radio show. It's the first in the nation, and we talk about these issues with experts and political activists from around the country all the time, and what's going on in Texas and what's going on in Florida now what's going on in Tennessee, your home state. It's heartbreaking. And you've spoken on this so much better than I could. So what would you say to a 14-year-old girl who's afraid to tell their family that they're trans?
Well, I mean, the thing that I've said about Texas was it's a damn shame that they're, you know, coming after these families that are clearly supporting their trans kids, you know, because there's a lot of families where that's not the case. And that's, you know, horrific. So people that are actually being supportive parents being vilified, you know, is, just super effed up. But for a 14-year-old currently in that situation and obviously not knowing anything about their parents, you know, I mean, it's I don't know. I feel like it's hard for me to say because, I mean, they might be right. You know, I don't know. They might be overly worried and everything's fine, which would be, that'd be wonderful if they found that out. But not knowing anything about their parents, you know, sometimes they are like that and it's rough, you know, but I feel like I'd be like talking out of turn.
That's real.
I mean, 14 is, 14 is a hard age, especially, did they say where they were from? No, you said anonymous.
I think anonymous and safety concerns are a real thing.
Yeah. Cause I remember, you know, 14 for me, it was around 13, 14 for me in Georgia, and I'm from Atlanta, but I was definitely in the suburbs and I was in a all black community. And, my father is a pastor and my family's super religious. And so for me, I did have that fear. I had that fear of, and AJ knows this, he helped me come out of the closet. I had a fear that nobody in my family would ever accept me. So when you're in that environment, cause I didn't come out until I was actually in LA, and me coming out as a gay man is completely different than, obviously coming out as a trans woman.
Kid, yeah. Right.
And so I don't want to try to equate the two in any way. I can only explain my experience and try to explain what I dealt with. And so I remember when I was 13 and I was a freshman in high school. And I remember just how one comment from a kid who was bullying me where he called me a fag. I remember how that one comment affected me to the point where I thought about taking my life. Right. So I can't imagine for something like this where, you know, and again, depending on where you are, it is a tricky thing to navigate, because if you aren't in a place and you know your family better than I am, and AJ knows this, when people reach out to us on Instagram, because we get all types of DMs too, when people reach out to us asking for advice, there is, especially for young teens or kids who are reaching out to us, there is a line that we have to kind of toe.
Yeah,
because,
and also they're reaching out from all over the world.
Right. We don't want to give the wrong bit of advice. I remember after 13 Reasons Why came out, there was somebody, and I was on Entertainment News Channel, so I had a lot of young followers, and I remember somebody came out to me and then was talking about coming out to their family and how their family was very, they just knew their family wasn't going to accept. And I didn't know what to do because I can't remember the exact nature of the conversation, but I don't want to be responsible for giving the wrong advice. Right.
Right.
So the only thing that I can say is, you know, if you know your family and you know how you think they're going to react, obviously we can't tell you, oh, everything's going to be okay, your family's going to love you, you're going to support you, because that may not be the case.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't always get better.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think what AJ and I both tried to, you know, reiterate to people is, as you mature, as you grow up, try to find that community, try to find some type of community of people who are like-minded, who may be going through the same thing that you can console in, or
that one teacher or the librarian or the one adult who you might feel kind of safe with. And that's what's so f***ed up about these new bills that are popping up all over the country now, because they're trying to make it that they have to out you. And I know they're kind of pulling back a little bit in Florida now, and that's getting tweaked a bit. But like, just even that we're having that conversation is so mind-numbing.
How
to me in 2022. We're seeing people halfway around the world literally fight for their lives in Ukraine, and yet here, this is how the Republican Party chooses to spend their time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not talking about climate change yet. We're not talking about the fact that like half our country is going to be underwater in 50 years. Like, we're spending energy on this.
Yeah.
And it's so mind numbing. So the good thing is, to this 14-year-old, if you're listening right now, just know that you are loved. You have three people on this podcast who support you, even though you might never meet us or ever talk to us.
Yeah.
There are more like us out there. And find your people, whether that means using social media or local organizations or that one teacher. There are a couple of teachers that got me through my entire like schooling experience. So they're out there. Find them safely. And if it's not in your family, then try to hold on to that for as long as you can. And maybe I hate saying stay in the closet or keep that, you know, close to, you know, to the vest. Hold that one close to the vest for a while. But if you're not in a safe environment,
gotta protect yourself.
Yeah.
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 All right. Okay. Let's go to the next secret. Anonymous female, North Carolina. So we have Ohio. We have Atlanta.
This is our last secret on here?
Tennessee. Yeah. And then we have North Carolina. I go to a super liberal college and I consider myself a Democrat, but I secretly listen to Ben Shapiro's podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God. Kind of for research, kind of for the LOLs, but there are times I actually agree with him. If my friends or family knew about this, they'd probably be horrified. Okay, that's not as bad as I thought.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Every night, I'm a raging blue-blooded liberal.
Yeah, he gets into Facebook rants with people from back home.
Hardcore. However, every now and then, I understand things, and I think if you don't, you're just as much an idiot as the person far the other side, right? There were things that Donald Trump would say that I was like, I get why that appeals to people. I understand why that kind of appeals to people. Do I think his approach was good? No, he's trash. And by and large, most of his policies were terrible for the average American. But I understand. And if you can't sit down and listen to somebody who disagrees with you, which I know is hard because it feels like we're playing two different games. It feels like oftentimes liberals, Democrats, like we bring a knife to a gunfight. And that's how it's kind of felt. You know, I voted for Al Gore. I voted for Hillary Clinton. And so like people my generation are like, okay, so half the time we vote, we win, but we still lose. Like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. It doesn't even make any sense. And for a candidate to win by 3 million votes and then to not become the president is insane, you know? And especially the dynamic of that election in particular, the misogyny versus the female who got more votes and all these, it's just a lot. So it's, I understand that it's hard to not feel traumatized and to want to lash out in anger, but neither side has a monopoly on the truth. And that's just what it is. Like, I agree with Democrats more often than not. That doesn't mean I want to trust a Democrat in my life, like every single time. But I support liberal progressive ideas more so than a party. So I think, listen, I used to watch Bill O'Reilly sometimes, like, I'd get down with him for a moment. And then he'd say some like asshat bullshit stuff. And then I'd be like, okay, never mind. He's back. He's crazy. But like, yeah. I mean, are there things that you hear like you're like, okay, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about like specific argument. They seem so far off the, you know, deep end with so much of their stuff now that it's hard for me to think. I mean, I'm sure, you know, sometimes there's like, you know, the whole broken clock thing, broken clocks, right? Twice a day. You know, I remember there was an Onion headline. It was like, terrible news. The worst person, you know, just made a really great point. You know, it's like, it does happen.
Yeah.
Like that every now and then they'll say something that you agree with. I also understand, like, sometimes I'll watch like Tucker Carlson clips or something like that, but I hate watching it.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm watching it to be out, you know, furious at it. Or like, what does some bitch say this time? You know, like it's like that. Listening to Shapiro every day or every week or how often it comes out. And I mean, I don't know. It's a pretty wild phenomenon to me. This person, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with like, I think that people should do a little bit more of purposefully exposing themselves to the other side or other types of thinking and whatnot. More people should do more of that. So I'm not going to like rag on this person, but I do think it's wild to be like, no, I'm a, you know, tried and true liberal. My whole family is,
but you're supporting
Ben Shapiro fan.
Yeah.
you know, like that's definitely a wild combination for sure. So,
yeah. I think I you know, this person, they said they listen to for LOLs and sometimes they agree, whatever. You do you. I'm not going to judge you for, you know, what you do in your personal time. What I will say is I want to highlight what Trey just said, though. I'm not saying you have to listen to Ben Shapiro all the time like she is, but there is some value in at least exploring what the other side is saying, whether it's for hate watching or hate reading for a little bit, but also just to see. So when you do have those conversations with people who maybe not align with what you're saying, you can at least try to understand a little bit where you're coming from, and then we can navigate and address our approach to say, okay, I hear what you're saying, I see why you think that, however, let me tell you from my experience why, not to call you wrong or say that's inaccurate, but this is what we feel.
My approach is usually, here's why you're f***ing wrong, and then I just tell them. Should we take one more quick commercial before we come back with Trey's secret?
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome back to Confess Your Mess. Trey Crowder is here. I've wanted to call you Jay Crowder so often. I used to be a Cavs fan, and he played for the Cavs back when LeBron won.
Fun fact about him: he was in college at Marquette and lighting it up when I was like first getting started as a stand-up comedian. So one thing I used to do on Twitter is I would get on there and I would like tweet at him, and I was like, the bit was I was pitching him a sitcom for the two of us.
Oh my gosh.
It's like it would be stuff like, tonight on Crowder Boys, Jay drops 35 on Louisville and Trey has a wacky run in at the laundromat, you know, stuff like that. And he never responded to any. I mean, I was a complete utter nobody at that time, but like he never responded to any of them. But I saw some of his buddies would like them sometimes. So it's like, I like to think that Jay was seeing what I was putting out there for him. But yeah, I used to.
I think he was laughing. And speaking of comedy, your well-read comedy tour, it starts March 5th and it goes through April 23rd. And you can purchase tickets at wellreadcomedy.com. Just quickly before we get into your secret, what would you describe your comedy as? Like if we were to go see you in a show, yeah,
what would that night be like?
I mean, you know, like if I try to do it in terms of like a genre, which, you know, we're kind of our own genre, but it's like progressive Southern humor, you know, which I know it sounds oxymoronic, but like, so, I mean, there's like some, I'm not up there just making like headline topical, like political jokes, like in a Bill Maher monologue style. It's not like that. It's more like stand up bits, but a lot of them are political in nature. And then there's also things about just like, you know, where I'm from and the people there and how I grew up and all that type of stuff. So, you know, it's not like I try to make it, you know, fun for everybody while also still doing my thing. You know,
do you find that your fans that you meet out on the road, are they liberals from like the city who like love that there's finally like one like kind of redneck kind of guy speaking to their hearts? Or do you meet rednecks who come to you because they're like, finally, I'm not the only one?
Or a mixture of both.
It's both, really. Like, and I mean, and then not everybody fits one of those two categories, but like those are probably the two biggest categories of like fans that we have at the shows. It's like if we're in the South, if we're at a city in the South, it's usually other, you know, blue sheep. Like I was saying, it's other like liberal Southerners who are like, finally, somebody that, you know, represents how I am, you know. That happens all the time. And then in like really progressive places that are not in the South, like San Francisco or Portland or wherever, it's like the first thing you said, where it's like, I guess it's more of like a novelty type of thing, but it's still not in like a patronizing way.
Like he sounds like Jeff Foxworthy, but he's cool. Yeah. He's down.
Right. Like, that's neat. You know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
And also a lot of like Southern, expats, I guess, or people whose families are from the South or things like that, but they grew up in Port, like that type of thing. Southern adjacent.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's good.
Are there any Walmart jokes in your comedy tour?
I mean, Walmart definitely gets brought up for sure. Can't have any sort of redneck comedy show without
Walmart's wild. I go home. My sister and I, when we were younger, we used to go back home and go to the Walmart. She was like, let's put on high tops. Let's go to Walmart and you can wear high tops. Just because we would go there and people would know, they knew me and they know I lived in LA, and people look at me like they wanted to kill me just because I was wearing high tops in a Walmart. And when I was home, I remember early pandemic, my hometown had their very first Pride event ever, right? Oh, wow. They picked 2020 to just kick things off. And I go home, and it was the first time I got on the plane or did anything during the pandemic. And I went to Walmart, and I was like, oh, yeah. And my family had all told me, like, oh, yeah, we're taking things very, very seriously. Then I get home, and nobody owns a mask. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean you're taking it seriously? Like, what precautions are you taking? And I go to Walmart, and I'm, like, the only one in a mask in the entire store besides the employees, because they were mandated, I think, by that time, or they were just, I mean, it just started. And people looked at me like they were just like, fucking Democrat. Like I could feel it.
Yeah.
Like that's how they looked at me.
Have you been back?
Like, it's recently? Nothing. I was there last summer, and I came back and I said, all right, I'm 41 now. I'm not going home anymore. Like I'm at that point in my life, in my career, where I don't need to go to Ohio anymore.
Just on the COVID front, specifically, and this is anecdotal, obviously, but like early on in the pandemic, it was 100%, just like you said, in my hometown and my wife's hometown. Then we went back for the first time in the whole pandemic this past Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we were in Wayne County, which, like I said, is the reddest county in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at the number of people, almost entirely old people, but most of the old people I saw out in Wayne County, old redneck people, had masks on and stuff. And in my head, I was like, I feel like at this point, even if politically they were like, it's all bullshit or whatever, they've all seen people die from it.
Yeah, right.
Like it reached a certain point finally where I think people in like at-risk groups and stuff were like, okay.
There was a switch.
Yeah.
We went to Kentucky around the holidays.
Yeah, we were there in November. My sister lives in Kentucky.
And I saw it was like a split. It was a split. Depending on where we were, there was a split and you saw some masks. I will say, was it in Kentucky? Or no, it was in Ohio. The one thing in Ohio, we went back to Salina. They were not wearing masks. But I remember, do you remember we went to that one grocery store? And there's barely any black people there. And that one woman.
Zero. There's no black people in my hometown.
Passed by me.
Oh, yeah.
What did she do?
What did she say? She saw you in the grocery store. We were at Chief. I knew her. I knew her when I was a child. I can't remember her name, but she's like one of those faces I know. And she looked at you and she goes, oh, hi.
Yeah. The way she did it, though, it was like, oh like, shit, I voted for Trump. You're like, oh, God.
It terrified her. And she had to call him out walking through the store like he was a fucking unicorn. Like, she'd never seen.
I'm okay. Everything's fine.
It was so uncomfortable. Oh, hi. I was like, oh, hello.
She was terrified.
All right. Let's get into what we've been waiting for, Trey. You know, we ask all of our guests to come with a secret. You revealed your mess, but yes, earlier. But now it's time for you to
confess your mess.
Okay, so, you know, I'm the liberal redneck as the character on the videos and whatnot. And I've talked a lot about how, like, people accuse me all the time, still to this day, all the time. People on the internet accuse me of just faking it all, making it all up, like faking the accent and everything. And I've always gotten really defensive about that. Like, all the other horrific death threats and stuff they say just roll right off my back. But that stuff has always pissed me off. And it's funny because I'm like, ain't nobody gonna tell me I ain't white trash, goddammit. You know what I mean? Which is that's a pretty white trash attitude to have, you know? Uh-huh. But so with that in mind and how defensive I've always been about it, my confession is that I was absolutely, without a doubt, the least redneck dude in my high school growing up or in my school period. So
really
wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. But you got
your whole brand
in Burbank. I'm the most redneck guy that any of them have seen. Like, it's all relative. I found out that a lot of my buddies are like, not my good buddies, but like guys that I went to school with were so pissed off after I first went viral at the whole thing, felt betrayed and whatever else. So my good friend would tell me that my other used to be friend was saying this shit. So through him, I'm telling him, I was like, dude, that is true, but you don't understand. They don't understand how redneck the least redneck person from Salina, Tennessee is.
Still is
the rest of the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, for my accent has dampened a lot since I left. Like, people, I went to high school with guys, like the rednecks who were considered rednecks in my school, like, they literally talk like this.
Uh-huh.
This is their accent. I'm not bullshitting you. This is how they
talk. How many Bubbas did you go to school with?
At least two. I think there was three. And one of them. So I don't know what happened to Bubba 3. Bubba 1 was a very stereotypical Bubba college, like, or a football player, went to college, but didn't last a week because of all the college parts, you know, and ended up like driving a truck or whatever. But Bubba 2, and I'm going by age here.
Right.
Bubba 2 was actually one of my best friends and is now, I swear to you, a nuclear physicist.
Wow, what? Bubba. Yes.
He's a rocket scientist. Dr. Bubba.
Two. That's put right. some respect on Dr. Bubba 2's
Bubba
name.
Two.
Yeah, Bubba 2. That's right. Yeah, me and him we're like the only two guys from our friend group who got out of the area.
Yeah.
And I'm like a silly internet comedian and he's a rocket scientist.
Oh my God.
I want to know, like, was there even a brainstorming session or how did like liberal redneck, how did that even happen? Was it your idea? Did somebody give you the idea? Was it a group effort? Like, where'd that come from?
So I used to have this bit early on when I started doing stand up that was basically what the liberal redneck videos ended up being. But the bit was like, I know that everybody hears my accent, thinks I'm a dumbass hillbilly, but I get it. I get why people think that. It's because the only time they ever hear my accent on TV or the news or in the media or whatever, it's always the same Bible thumping troglodyte at the time I was saying at a Tea Party rally. You know,
the Tea Party.
This is back in Tea Party.
Yeah, Michelle Bachman
era. The quaint bygone days of the Tea Party.
Oh, my God. Right.
Know, back when they were sane. Like, remember how ludicrous the Tea Party seemed at the time? But anyway, this was back then. And I'd be like, yeah, same Bible thumping troglodyte at a Tea Party rally, holding up a sign with something on it like, you know, big government makes Jesus puke, you know, or whatever, stuff like that.
Of course.
So I get why people think that. but I don't like it. So I've decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to start going out in public and being just as loud and just as redneck as they are. But I'm going to say a bunch of really liberal shit to sort of balance the scales out somewhat. And then I would do, then I would go into like giving examples. And the only one I can remember was, it was like, I'd be like, I'm gonna wear a t-shirt that on the front of it says, are my taxes paying for your health care? And on the back, it says, glad I could help, brother. We'll get there someday. You know? It was like stuff like that. And even in like redneck bar shows in Tennessee, that bit used to play. It used to work. Cause I felt like conservatives heard it and they thought I was just like just doing a thing. You know what I mean? It's like it's just a funny sounding thing or whatever. But I used to do that. Was one of my early good bits that like worked really well for me. And so I started telling people, but it's all based in truth. It comes from a very authentic place, obviously. But I started telling my other comedian buddies, like, I'm thinking about making like a video series out of that bit, you know, like doing that as a character. And every one of them, every time they would be like, yeah, that's a really good idea. You should totally do that. And I was like, man, I'll have to like buy a fancy camera and learn how to edit and all this shit. It seemed like there was a barrier to entry.
Yeah.
But then in 2016, I saw that this video of this preacher in North Carolina when North Carolina was doing their transgender bathroom bill thing. There was this video of this preacher that was going viral on the right. So I'm seeing like people from my high school sharing it stuff, had like 15 million views. And it was just him standing in the woods for some reason.
Yeah.
Preaching fire and brimstone at his phone.
I've seen it.
Output, like, not a dick joke in sight. Wasn't funny at all. Right. You know, just pure fire and brimstone stuff. It had like 15 million views. And it was like a light bulb went off when I saw that. I was like, oh, if this is what I'm making fun of, then it would be a mistake to do it, you know, in a to fancy it up. Like,
right.
I should just do it exactly the way this guy, to just go out back with my phone and just, and once that clicked,
yeah,
which I know it seems such like a simple realization now, but once that clicked, I did the first one like, you know, a couple of days after that or something. And the second one was about the transgender bathroom bill, and it's the one that went crazy viral and everything.
Wow.
And changed my life. So
I remember it.
Who's the most famous person that's reached out to you? Or shared your videos?
I mean, I've had pretty cool people share the videos and whatnot. The two things that come to mind were Morgan Freeman said I was his favorite comedian in an interview once.
He played God.
Right. Yeah. So God said that.
Uh-huh. That was pretty insane. And then the other, I guess, wildest one, because it turned into like a whole story, really, was that I did Al Gore's 70th birthday party. I was the entertainment at Al Gore's 70th birthday party.
Wow.
Which was pretty wild.
Well, and Tennessee, back to Tennessee.
Yeah,
home
back
state.
To Tennessee. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
So those two are, and then Al Gore actually did like a cameo in one of my silly little internet videos.
Listen, silly little internet videos are paying the bills and taking care of the family. So you keep doing them. We love them. We love you. We think you're so fantastic. And also make sure you get tickets if you can. And you start touring the 5th, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of always touring. I'm on a little bit of a break right now, but it ends March 5th. I'm back in Knoxville, which is actually where I started stand up.
Nice.
And then, on and on from there. So, yeah, wellreadcomedy.com. Wellreadcomedy.com.
Wellreadcomedy.com. Trey, you're a lot of fun. Thank you so much for stopping by.
And we like to ask our guest every single week before we let them go.
I always forget this part. every week.
It just like speeding to the end. We like to ask our guest from this podcast episode, what is your takeaway of the day? Something that really resonated with you or something that you just want to share as your takeaway of the day?
It's important to know those closest to you. How about that?
That's good. That's good.
One girl's worried about her family and how her friends feel about her family.
Yeah.
And teenagers worried about, you know, their parents.
14-year-old. Yeah.
So you gotta be in touch with the people close to you in your life.
Keep the antennas up.
Yeah.
Keep the antennas up. Stay safe. We appreciate you, Trace. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Trace.
Thank you all.
Later.
See ya.
Confess your mess.
Confess Your Mess is a Straw Hut Media podcast produced by Ryan Tillotson and Frank Driscoll. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and share.
And if you have a secret you want to share, go to confessyourmess.us to submit. Your secret could end up in the show.
Ooh.